I'm Anita Lustria, and this is Faith Conversations. Today on the podcast, I have Mike Murphy back on with me. It has been months, Mike, so welcome back.
Yes, it's good to be back. I thought I had done something wrong.
Well, no, it's just I've had loads of other guests.
Yes, you know. You had. You've had some wonderful guests.
Oh, man, it has been a good few months. And part of that is I needed to get ahead for when I had my hip surgery. People know about that. They're tired of hearing about it. I'm fine. I'm doing well. But anyway, so I got a lot of stuff done ahead, and then I've been, you know, up to date. And, you know, not that you're a second stringer.
Well...
Not that I would go to you.
I refer to myself as a replacement guest. what everybody else has said no.
You know what? I didn't even
you coerce
ask.
Me.
I didn't even ask Melinda or Michelle. I thought, you know, I'll give them some time off.
Yes.
I haven't talked with either of them in a while either, or Lori for that matter. So, but I asked you, and you were gracious enough to say yes.
Yes.
And I'm really thankful for that. Hey, often on the podcast, I don't do it every week, but I know you will especially appreciate this as the, you know, the one that manages the money in our household. So you can support the podcast.
Yes.
You'd be all
People
over that.
Can.
And I'm deeply grateful to those of you who contributed to the podcast last year. We're in a new year, new season, and probably the easiest way to give a gift, if this is something, you know, if you don't listen very often, no biggie. Don't, you know, it's like you get, at least Mike and I, we give where we're fed or where we benefit from.
That's right.
Right. So that's all I'm saying.
And I think it's important too, Anita, for people to realize you don't get a salary from this at all. It's not like boatloads of money are coming in, but there are expenses of a couple $100 a month. And, you know, so
I knew you'd be all over this.
Well,
I never say this stuff.
Yeah.
So good.
I think that's important. You know, it's just
for
kind of a labor of love because you feel like it's a calling from God.
Yeah.
And you're
so
just
far.
Saying,
you know, so
help,
far.
If you could just help us cover the expenses on it, that would be great.
That's funny.
We're retired people living on
well,
the
no, we're not retired. We're semi-retired.
We're
you
semi-retired.
And I are both working.
All right. Get a,
you're
let's
working
get away from
at
this.
Our church. Yeah. I'm a spiritual director. You're a spiritual director, actually.
Yes.
Actually, I want to talk about that in a second, but let me go ahead and give the avenues through which people can give, and then we can move on. From that, probably the easiest if you're on PayPal or Venmo or whatever. So I'm on PayPal, and the email address that's associated with Faith Conversations and the way you can give is producer@anitalustria.com, producer@anitalustria.com. And some folks connect with me and email me and say, I'm not a PayPal person. I'd rather send a check. You can also do that. So if you'd like to mail a check, the mailing address is 8 White Oak Terrace, and that is Sarasota, Florida, and the zip 34237. I tried to do that slowly. So if someone
it's
had a pen,
good.
They could write it down. Okay, moving on. You and I are both spiritual directors.
Yes.
I do enjoy talking about this from time to time.
Yep.
I mention it often when I have a guest who happens to be a spiritual director, and I wasn't thinking about that with you until you said retired, and I'm like, nope, not retired.
No.
We're both active and doing things in spiritual, besides the podcast, spiritual direction is one of those things that we both find great joy in. I did post something on Facebook at the beginning of the year for anyone that might be thinking about wanting to change things up this year. And I heard from a couple of women, and obviously when I hear from guys, I send them on to you, though, you know, you can have a female spiritual director, et cetera. But that's the scoop, and would love to hear from you. I think we both have some openings.
Yes.
You know, we pay attention to how many folks we have, but we do have some openings. So again, you can email me at that same email address so I don't confuse you. Producer@anitalustria.com comes right into my inbox, so I see any emails there.
Yeah, my capacity is 60 directees, and I have room for 59.
Oh, you're funny. No, that's not true.
That's not. But
that's yeah, not your capacity.
No, that's way beyond my capacity.
Way beyond capacity, and you have more than one. So, okay.
Yes.
Listen, I can't take you anywhere or even have you on the podcast. That's true. It's constant. You know, I've got to control the message here.
All right, let's talk about,
all right,
let's
moving
talk about
on.
Something that doesn't involve us.
Okay. Well, sorry, this whole thing's going to kind of involve us and our opinions. There's a lot going on in the country
these days,
in the world these days. Oh boy, it's kind of exhausting. And I realize that we bring a perspective. Not everyone listening will agree with everything. It's always fun to hear from people. One of the things I've appreciated about you, Mike, you post on Facebook these things called Friday rumblings.
Yeah.
I repost them on my Facebook page and on Friends of Midday page, et cetera. And they're what they are is food for thought. I'm hoping that your rumblings, they make me think. I think they make a number of people who comment on them on Facebook think and ponder. It's your goal is not for people to agree with everything you say, but to get people thinking and dialoguing. And I think it really is easy to put your head in the sand when there are a lot of difficult things happening culturally, societally.
Right. And I think as we talk this morning, or whatever people are listening,
exactly.
afternoon,
you.
Evening, whenever it is for them.
Yep, you're used to radio too, aren't you?
I think I am. And when we talk about, especially about issues in the news, it raises up some things in us.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I want to urge people to pay attention to whatever that is. And really, a lot of the things we're talking about are things we have very little control over. It's just I've written about them or we've talked about them just because they concern us and it impacts us or people that we know. So hopefully it can be used as a spiritual exercise to take us a little bit deeper and say, well, why am I all riled up? What's going on here?
And I have to say, this is something I'll just throw out there, you know, from a political perspective, one of the things I confess, you and I have been married, it'll be coming up on 14 years. And before I met you, I might have been starting down this path. And I've always had a justice bent. But I would think politically, I didn't think very deeply. And I was all for voting for who would benefit me the most. Confession here, I really didn't think about other people.
Right.
And it's, yes, and that's, it gets a little tougher to, when you start thinking about other people and not always just benefiting you the most. And when you start thinking about the heart of God, and again, there are good people. I will say this. I used to say this on Midday. There are good people on all sides of this conversation, and I believe that.
Well, there's moral implications.
Yes, yes.
Regarding federal budgets, what we spend our money on, the decisions that are made. So those moral implications are things that really should concern us as, you know, people of faith, mm-hmm. because if it touches another human being and it touches them negatively for no good reason other than to give favor to some other group of people, maybe we got to take a look at that and say, okay, what's this all about? And where's God in the midst of all this?
Mm-hmm. And what's my part?
Right. What role do I take? So a lot of times people will say, oh, we don't need to talk about, you know, political and social issues, it just draws us further from God. And I would say, no, I think if you don't talk about them, you're walking away from God. Sorry.
Well,
but
yeah.
And because I think these kind of things should draw us back to the scripture, back to our faith traditions, to read what wise men and women of faith have said over the years and over the centuries. And I think, indeed, that's a spiritual exercise.
And I'll say, I think uncomfortable things to talk about are faith, politics, and money.
Oh, yeah.
You add that one into the mix, and whoa.
Well, what Martin Luther said about money, it's the pocketbook is the second conversion, or the last conversion,
right,
like that.
Yeah, you and I talk about this fairly frequently, and Yes, and I appreciate that. Anyway, okay. So I thought maybe today we can take a look at some things that have happened in the last couple of weeks, and I'm kind of using your current rumblings as a springboard. And, you know, for someone who listens to this months down the road, this is January. And specifically, you know, this will air right toward the end of January.
Do you mind if we start with one that I'd like to start with?
Sure.
The very first one.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good one. Because I was going to mention some things that happened this week, and that's good.
Well,
it's one of them.
This week was Martin Luther King Day. And the two of us made a decision to honor that day by renting the movie Selma.
Okay, truth. Mike said, I don't care what we do today, but one thing I want to do is I want to watch a movie that focuses in on, you know, race relations issues, MLK, you know, something today. And it had not crossed my mind. I was so grateful that he mentioned it. I'm not surprised that he mentioned it. And we settled in on Selma. We started looking, and then Selma popped up, and yeah, let's do it.
Yes. And we've seen it before. And
saw it in the theater when it first came out.
First came out. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be honest to say that both of us teared up mm-hmm. at times.
Numerous times during it.
And for us, you know, the two of us have gone on a justice journey at one time. We've walked over the Edmund Pettus Bridge with a group of people that was black and white, and as
Hispanic.
My friend Ramiro
yes.
says, one Latino.
Yes.
And, you know, we walked over that bridge together, and we are on this journey, and we realize that this struggle is not over.
No.
And it appears, somebody wrote on my Facebook page today, it says, it appears that we really like people like King after they're dead.
Yeah, I read that comment, you know, or the approval rating or whatever, you know,
yeah,
back then as opposed to now. Yeah, it was a good perspective.
That's because we don't like prophets.
Yes.
They make us uncomfortable.
Well, that's why some people, maybe even a lot of people, aren't a fan of yours. I mean, that's what I think. Well, I think you have a prophetic voice. You're a poker and a prodder.
I have a prophetic tinge.
A tinge.
So, you know.
Okay.
And,
all right.
But I certainly don't think I am one. But
I haven't thrown.
I'm not afraid to raise up issues that need to be looked at, and that's much to the consternation of a lot of folks that I know.
So I haven't thrown you overboard into the sea yet, like Jonah.
No, I mean he was, because Jonah was trying to run from God.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and you're not
Jonah. Jonah, it was great what he finally did with God. Wanted. I love this. He was mad because people actually repented.
Exactly.
I mean, you talk like hanging on to
That's
stuff.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, he didn't want that. And
you
he
know,
was
so
disgusted.
What goes on here?
Ooh, it's good.
But okay. I think what it raises for me is people will say, well, we just don't really have a lot of racial issues that need to be talked about in our day and age. And that's just baloney.
Yeah.
I think that's a Hebrew word, baloney.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it is.
I mean, you just have to go, baloney.
Yeah.
You know how you do that.
And I think sometimes we hang on to racial inclinations by a very narrow reading of Scripture and our nation's history. And I think we've got to repent of that, and we've got to kind of open our eyes, because we're still trouble in River City here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got some things that really, really need to be talked about. And then some people will say, well, we just enacted all those civil rights laws and everything's okay. No, if I know anything about laws, people try to work around them all the time. And so it doesn't take much if we open our eyes to see that there's still some issues in our country. We've got to deal with it.
And I'll just say this about, when you said that about laws, my first thought was, yeah, I'll say something about laws too. They're enacted when people's hearts are not there. You know, laws don't always have to exist if people's hearts are in a different place.
Oh, absolutely.
I think. I'm like sort of saying that off the top of my head, but yeah.
Well, even in when Brown versus Board of Education, which mm-hmm. was a landmark.
1954.
Well, people worked around that every way they could. It was mm-hmm. that was the beginning of the White Christian Academy that people started, the schools. Mm-hmm. It was born. born out of a desire to not have to keep that law.
You know, and I'm here to say, 1954, those issues were going on long before for Native Americans. Right. Anyway.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So this was one of those weeks where it just kind of raises all this stuff up. And I'm so glad we watched Selma.
Me too.
Because I think it meant a lot. It brought back some memories for us.
It got me thinking we should kind of once a week for a while, you know, tick off a different movie, do stuff like that.
Yeah. We've got a bunch of them.
You can always rent them. I had a friend, mentioning a current movie that was out there that I kind of wanted to see, Green Book. I don't know much about it, but then I saw her say a lot of positive reaction, but she said, yeah, but it looks like it's kind of that typical story of white person comes along and, you know, saves whatever, has this role.
But it's probably still worth seeing.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Because no movie is
perfect.
Yeah,
you're right.
And of course, you know, in the Green Book, the Green Book was what African Americans consulted to go on driving tours around this country so they could arrive in a town and find a safe place in which to stay, and a safe restaurant that they could go to.
Man.
So just pondering that
a little bit
is really worth it.
Yeah, you're right.
So anyway, that's what started our week.
That was the first rumbling, exactly. I wanted to touch maybe before we go on to the others, because we'll probably come back to this topic a little bit. But where was it? I got to find. Oh, number 7. To live in this world, you must be able to do 3 things. To love what is mortal. To hold it against your bones, knowing your own life depends on it. And when the time comes to let it go, to let it go.
Yes.
That's Mary Oliver.
Yes. And I did not write that.
I'd love to claim it. Beautiful. And of course, within the past couple of weeks, Mary Oliver has passed away.
Yes, you've been seeing a lot of her poems on Facebook.
Yeah.
And that's why.
Yes. And if you're unfamiliar, I've had a number of friends say, that I've come in contact with here in Sarasota say, oh, I didn't really know Mary Oliver. And I've said, get to know her. Check a book out of the library. Buy a book of her poems.
Yes. Yeah. Well, in all honesty, I hadn't, or I didn't think I had. So, but then I saw all these things being posted, and I said, maybe I should.
Yes. And I have a good friend, Janet Davis, who... I bet it was Janet that introduced me to Mary years ago, and periodically will, send me a poem. Yeah. And I have a book of her poems now, of Mary's. So, okay. All right, moving on. And realizing some of these things are time sensitive. So, you start listening to this and you see, oh, wait, that was in the news a long time ago. Well, yes, that can be the fact if you listen months down the road. Yeah. Carry on.
But the topics are still worthwhile.
And many of them will still be relevant because they're, as usual, there's usually some universal truth in some of the things that we're talking about. Transcendent value here. All right, where do you want to go?
Well, I think we're in the middle of a government shutdown as we watch this, and one wonders about the morality of all that. I think we're stuck in the deep weeds, here in our country in many respects, and this will inflame the passions of somebody listening to this. But a lot of it's just a result of the fact that we had a presidential candidate who became president that made a campaign pledge that he can't fulfill, and all of a sudden we have all these workers that are out there.
And that happens with presidents. You can't fulfill every promise.
No, you can't.
Not every promise is good.
But you don't have to hold the nation hostage.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
That's the morality of things that we always have to look towards in any time we talk about a political figure of any kind. Sometimes the issues are bigger than the candidate or the party.
Yes.
Because it does impact the lives of, you know, of others.
Can I play devil's advocate
yes, you
here?
May.
So is fault only on one side?
Well, I think that we have an amazing ability not to sit down and negotiate.
Yeah, okay.
And
I think that part troubles me too.
And
Yes.
Yeah, and we have to learn how to do it. I think there's some good news. There seems to be some of the newer congressmen and women on both sides of the aisle are kind of demanding that negotiation take place. And I think that's really, really vital.
Yep.
And I think maybe the young are going to lead us to a place where we can be a little bit more enlightened. Because frankly, you know, as a government major, I followed these things all along. You know, you're going to have fights over stuff, but if you can't sit down and come to some kind of agreement, then we're sizzled as a country.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And don't hold innocent men and women hostage without paychecks, you know, and hurting and in need and that.
Right. I mean, these are real life people.
Yes.
This morning, I just learned that LaGuardia Airport, and this might get dated after a while.
Sure, it will be.
It's probably going to go down because the air traffic controllers are calling in sick.
Yep.
Well, that's going to affect the entire Northeast.
Yes, absolutely.
And actually not having the Coast Guard, the air traffic controllers and whatnot, that is really a security issue that's facing us as a country.
Absolutely.
So we've really got to work this out.
Yep, right on. I would love, by the time people hear this, that's not an issue anymore.
Yeah, maybe it will be.
It'd be great.
That'd be nice.
What else? The rumblings, I love them because you pepper in spiritual truths, great quotes, poetry, and political stuff. All kinds of things are sprinkled in. So, for instance, number four this week, basically a two-liner, come follow me. Three words that changed my life,
yes.
You say.
And
words
for those
Christ.
Of who are familiar with Scripture, that comes from the Gospels.
Yes.
That simple beckoning of Jesus, come and follow me.
Yeah.
What an invitation. I mean, it lacked a whole lot of detail.
I know. Isn't that the truth, right?
You know.
I love that.
Where are we going? What are we going to be doing? Who else is going to be doing it with us? Is it going to cost me anything? You know, he said, come. Just come, follow me. And you read that, and I realize that is what I want most of all.
Well, when the light of the world says it. It's pretty compelling, right?
Yeah, it really is. And so a lot of times when people say, I disagree with you, that's all right. Mm-hmm. Like you, I want to say to them, I'm working out my salvation in fear and trembling myself.
Yeah.
But I feel compelled to to say things that other people don't.
Well, to that point, thank you. Thank you for saying that. Because yes, I love people, I disagree with you. Then have some dialogue on your particular social media platform that you like, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. You know, I think people will get all up in arms and upset sometimes, but they're not willing to discuss these things on their own platform.
Right, and sometimes when you put something out there, you find out you're wrong.
Yeah.
And I jumped to some conclusions last week about everything that happened with the elder and native elder and the Black Hebrew Israelites and the high school kids that I wish I would have waited just a little bit longer on.
Days.
And
yeah.
I confess to that.
Which I'm grateful. I think that's equally important when we say things, post things, to come back and say, I was wrong, or I've got a lot to learn, or I needed to wait, whatever, that. I think that's wonderful.
I don't think I was completely wrong either, but
you're right.
I think it's important to keep modeling for each other, for the people who come in contact with that things like an apology and confession and repentance and even forgiving other people is a good thing.
Well, hey, I'll just say, yes, I agree 100%. And I remember saying, I've said before, parents, come on. You know, I had someone that went toe-to-toe with me back in my midday days, a parent that said, I think you never should admit that you're wrong if you're a parent. Like, are you kidding me? No, how do we model? How do we model the good things for our kids if we don't confess and say, oh, you know what, I'm sorry, I was wrong there.
I'm wrong, I was stupid.
Yeah.
You know, I could have made a better choice.
And decision then, or whatever, yeah.
And then give yourself a time out.
I think parents, that's an important thing.
ATOs are a wonderful thing, adult timeouts.
Yes, that's good. I'm bad with acronyms, so thanks for saying that one.
That's all right.
All right, what else?
Well, you know, I was. Okay, here's something that's kind of sticks in my craw sometimes.
Good.
Every once in a while I hear somebody say, you know, our pastor never speaks into the issues of the day. Just talks about Jesus and what's in the Bible. And the question I raise about
I know right where you're going. Go ahead.
I go, how does that work? I mean, how do you not talk about the issues of the day and take a look at what Scripture can bring to it?
Well, that's not what I thought you were going
to
say.
Bring light to it.
I thought you were going to say, what do you mean? Talk about Jesus and what's in the Bible. A lot of what's going on today, these are issues, not in, you know, specific names named, blah, blah, blah. But these are the same things that Jesus was talking about, you know, caring for the poor, speaking truth to power, blah, 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 right? This is in the Bible. So that's not even a good phrase to use. He or she just talks about Scripture and what's in Jesus and what's in the Bible. No, not, you know.
Yeah, this will sound inflammatory. I don't mean it to be such, or maybe I do, but I don't know. But, you know, sometimes I'm afraid we go, well, as long as we just talk about me and Jesus and going to heaven and avoiding hell, that's all we really need. And I think Jesus spoke a lot about the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go to heaven.
Preach.
And I happen to believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But I think sometimes we can settle for a transactional experience with God,
mm-hmm.
and that doesn't necessarily lead to the fullness of the transformative experience that is promised by Jesus.
Mm. Ooh, that's a mouthful right there. That's good.
And
yes,
and I think what we want to be is transformed, and I believe it is an inward journey.
Mm-hmm.
It does, that the message of Jesus does have to do with me, but it necessarily has to take an outward expression to live into the fullness of all that God has for us. And that's why I think at times we need preachers
mm-hmm.
to speak prophetically into the lives of their congregation, but oftentimes they're afraid to do it because people get so mad. And when they do that, because they go, well, stick to the Bible. Well, if you stick to the Bible and read any of the Old Testament prophets, you're going to hear things that are as, well, it's like reading the newspaper, if people still do that these days, or going on your iPad or whatever it is. It's as current as this particular day and age. And so, you know, so we gotta think about that. And of course, you don't want a steady diet of just somebody being angry, but I don't think that's what we're talking about. I think sometimes we just got to say, hey, folks, let's stop. Let's pray. Let's take a good look about what we're saying and what we're doing and our social media kind of things. And does it have anything to do with God at all?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just in a narrow expression of a big, wide faith?
Yeah,
maybe our God is too small. That's what.
Yes, I totally hear that, and I realize sometimes I get to a place where I actually do have a few pictures of funny or cute puppies or something now and then for a break to just breathe and then go back, but not a steady diet. You know, I think you got to pay attention to. To a wide variety of thoughts, topics, and issues. Be a whole, a well-rounded person.
Sure. And that means reading.
Yeah. Yeah.
People and, you know, mm-hmm. things that we might not want to do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm reminded, you know, last week, our church, Church of the Palms in Sarasota, mm-hmm. Had a speaker in, Michael Gerson.
They have a speaker series.
Yeah.
So,
and Michael Gerson was in. If you don't know who Michael is, he's a proud alumnus of Wheaton College.
Yes, indeed.
I've said all this.
Yep.
Would say that he would say that he's a proud evangelical. He's mm-hmm. a Republican. Worked in the Bush White House. Mm-hmm. Also worked with Bono on the, you know,
the one campaign and
all these other
PEPFAR
things.
And he
just said, you know, we've got to learn a way to talk to one another once again. And how do we do that, you know, civilly?
Yes.
I would say, too, as a recipient of some really mean-spirited posts from people, that we need to learn how to do it in writing.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Also, there's a way to approach people in a way that just doesn't, you know, make them want to, you know, set fire to themselves.
Yes. Yes. Okay. One of the other rumblings, you talked about Martin Luther King Jr. But one of the things I just wanted to highlight this specifically, you said, you know, he's a prime example of a minister using his pulpit for the sake of the common good and to the glory of God. You said in this post, I'm sure you've all read Letters from Birmingham Jail, which beautifully and poignantly speaks to why speaking truth to power is essential. You know, you said you haven't. Please read it soon. I just wanted to mention it here on the podcast as well. You have it in print, but that encouragement for people to read that, and that all goes back to your comment of just reading, being informed. Right. You know, read widely, and all that.
Right. And in that, by the way, it's a short read.
Yes.
It's not long, but here he was in jail. Writing in the margins of newspapers, sneaking out this letter,
right, exactly,
to people that had to put it together like a little bit of a puzzle. But part of what he did in that letters, he was calling out white ministers that were saying, "Oh, Martin, go slow.
Right.
This all takes time. Don't want to rock the boat too much. Don't want to make it hard for us here." And King was basically saying, "That's what you always say."
Mm.
Maybe it's time for you to stand up and take a stand. And eventually, people in ministry did stand up and take a stand. It really happened, I think, more of from the North, people in the North. I think it was hard for a lot of these ministers that were sympathetic to King to stand up against the racism of their day and age. But King is basically saying, if this isn't the time, when is it going to be? Because we just had four little girls killed.
Right.
You know, an explosion.
Right.
And people getting beat up.
And so today, you know, instead of four little girls, insert young men, you know, being profiled, young men being shot, you know, other things. You can put some other things in that.
Well,
in that blank.
Or any person just being mischaracterized.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, it's like with people come rushing to our border. Well, they're not rushing to the border, you know, are not all rapists, murderers, drug dealers and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Those are just unfair and untruthful kind of things to say. In the midst of that, who will stand up in defense of them? And the church, by the way, is at the border. And always has been and always will be.
Right.
And Christian and Jewish and even Muslim aid organizations who are saying in the name, you know, of our God, we're going to be there on the part of those who don't have much and are being mischaracterized.
Yes.
God bless them. Mm-hmm. Just God bless them.
You, in the same rumbling, you quoted Richard Rohr, who wrote recently, personal salvation cannot be divorced from social and systemic implications.
Yeah.
So that's some of what we're talking about here.
Yeah. And it actually, one of the dot, dot, dots is really a quote that Rohr used by Dorothy Day that said, you know, we got who is a Catholic worker and and who of amazing impact, but says we got to basically change the dirty, rotten systems. You know, that enslave people. I mean, she was a woman who quite often spoke her mind in ways that people really didn't want to hear. Yeah.
So would you call her prophetic?
Well, I would, but she also was a woman of action.
Yes.
And she established Catholic workers' houses around the country where, you know, young men and women, a good friend of mine in Tennessee, started his ministry at the Catholic Youth Worker House, and he wasn't a Catholic.
But. Nice. Anything else you want to highlight?
Well, I would say this. I'm becoming more and more convicted, I think, just about my own prayer life. Mm-hmm. And there's so much that is going on in the world that I want to, I want to go into situations better prayed up.
What does that mean?
Well, I think I this is my confession.
Better connected?
Better. I just want to make sure I'm connected to God. And not just connected in a prayer time, in a prayer closet, you know.
Yeah.
But prayerful with every word that I write, every word that I speak, every interaction that I'm in, especially those that aren't as pleasant.
I like that. I appreciate that. Yeah.
You know, to try to be God's man in the midst of that in a way that's really beneficial to all involved.
My spiritual director self would say to you, all of life is prayer.
Yes. That's, and that is a good word.
Yeah.
It is. And I think as part of that life, we need to carve out the time just to be.
Or yes, I agree. Yes, which is some solitude, some silence, some, you know, alone time with God. As Rob Bell says, everything is spiritual.
Everything is spiritual.
Yeah. There's no sacred secular divide, really.
Right, and that's mm-hmm. a very good word, Anita, because times I'll say, well, what people are saying, why do you write about these things? Because I think they're important to God.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I hope some of you read The Rumblings every Friday, Mike Murphy. And
if you miss them there, I repost them.
Repost them, Anita, because I don't know if you realize this, there's a million Mike Murphys.
Yes. Thankfully, Anita Lustria is a little easier.
Yes, it is.
I posted on Friends of Midday as well. And again, I would say they're good thought starters, great conversation starters, and good prayer starters as well. Good, you know, kind of, you can pray through them. I've heard of small groups that discuss them and go through them. So, hey, Mike, thanks. Thanks for coming to my rescue.
I bailed you out, didn't
I? Yes, you did. You've been known to do that more than once in my lifetime. So thank you for that.
And you really don't give me a choice.
That's pretty true. Pretty true. So anyway, thank you. And to everyone else, I say keep the conversation going.